Isaiah 22, a message about the valley of vision. What troubles you now that you've all gone up to the rooftops? You who were once full of passion, you who was once such a busy business town. Your dead men were not killed by the sword, nor were they dead in battle. Your leaders have run away together. You have fallen into captivity without your enemies using bows. All of you were caught, you were captured together. You fled while the enemy was far off. So this is exactly what God said would happen if they broke the covenant, that they would flee when nobody was chasing them, that they would be beaten by much weaker people. Therefore I said, and now Isaiah sort of chips in, look away from me. Let me weep my tears of bitterness. Don't try to comfort me over the destruction of the daughter of my people. For to the Lord Yahweh of hosts belongs the day of confusion in the valley of vision and the pulling down and destruction of his temple on its own mountain. So he's seeing here the vision of how Jerusalem is going to fall. And they go up to their housetops, which is where they had their idols, Jeremiah says, and they were going to see that it was all destruction and their idols had not helped them. And so Isaiah is overcome with this. He says, look, I'm just going to weep tears. I can't be comforted because of what is going to happen to my people. So he really believes the message he's teaching. And you see this in all these chapters that very often Isaiah sort of butts into the vision he's being given and he breaks down in tears. He really knows that these things are going to happen, that this is not just theory, but that this is really going to happen. And he so wishes the people would repent so it doesn't have to happen. Elam takes up the quiver with her cavalry, and Ker takes out her shield. And it will happen that your most beautiful valleys will be filled with chariots and horsemen. They're going to come banging on your gates. He has removed the defences of Judah. At that time, you looked to the great munitions depot and the palace of the forest, and yet there were so many breaches in the wall of the city of David. You stored up water from the lower pool. This is when Hezekiah made his tunnel. You counted the houses of Jerusalem. You tore down some of the houses to make that wall stronger. You built a reservoir between the walls to store the water from the old pool. But you did not look to the one who created it and planned it long ago. So, when we read in the historical record that Hezekiah built this tunnel and this aqueduct, which you can see today in Jerusalem, you might think, oh, that was pretty cool. But here, Isaiah gives a totally different perspective. He says that all that was done without faith in God. So although Hezekiah did have some flashes of faith, he also had a lot of disbelief and was just doing his own thing in his own strength, thinking that he, by his cleverness and his engineering, could make Jerusalem very strong, strongly defended with enough water to survive the siege. And yet Isaiah's comment is, yes, you did all this, but you didn't look to the one who is your creator. On that day, Yahweh of hosts called for weeping and mourning, for wearing sackcloth. In other words, while they were building that reservoir, that aqueduct, that tunnel, God was calling them to repentance. But instead, there was joy and feasting, killing cattle, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, you said, because tomorrow we shall die. Nevertheless, Yahweh of hosts has revealed himself to me in my ears, saying, because of this sin you will not be forgiven until you die. So, all that defense of Jerusalem, because it was done in the wrong spirit, was sinful. And God saw it as a sin. And they were just getting on like people do today, saying, well, all right, so tomorrow we're going to die. Let's have a great time now. They did not have any perspective of the kingdom, of God ultimately saving them. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Go to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the king's household, and ask him, what are you doing here? And what are your relatives doing here? And why have you carved out a grave for yourself here? cutting out a tomb in the best location, out of the solid rock. No, Yahweh is about to throw you away violently, rolling you up tightly like a ball and throwing you into another country where you will die and where all your chariots of glory will also lie. I will take away from you your office and your position. I mean, this Shebna. I think that this is the same Shebna who was actually one of the Egyptians who is called by that name, and that he had effectively become a ruler in the land, in Jerusalem, and he had cut himself out a tomb for him to be buried in amongst the tombs of the kings of Israel and Judah. And he set himself up as if effectively he was the king. God says no. You see, this is another example of Judah trusting in the flesh and trusting in Egypt. At that time I will call for my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and I will put your robe upon him, and I will transfer all your power and authority to him, and he will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will put on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens will not be shut, and what he shuts will not be opened. I will set him like a peg in a strong place. He will become a throne of honor to his father's house, and the glory of his father's house will hang on him. It will have offspring and offshoots. At that time, declares Yahweh of hosts, the peg that was driven into a strong place is going to snap, and it will shear off and fall down, and all the load hanging on it will fall over. So, I think what this is saying is, okay, get rid of Shebna, and Eliakim is to replace him. He could have been a sort of a Messiah figure, but again, that didn't work out. He could have been this offspring and offshoot of David. And he could have been the peg in a strong place, but God says not. Well, he could have been that, but he will snap under the weight. So, all these potentials, what could have been, it's all through the Bible when you look for it. And I think when God looks at you and me, he sees people who want to at least go his way. The problem is we're weak, but we've not said no to him. And although we do all waste potential, I think we want, as far as we can, to do our best for him.